Hallelujah. You know, it sounds very strange. You know, I am more used to opposition than acceptance. So when somebody says, God is using this man mightily, it sounds very odd in my ears. I am more used to, you are wrong. Then the thing inside me will come on. Then we go talk up. So when somebody say God is using this man, he is preaching the truth, it sounds very odd in my ear. Because I am in the field to fight, to contend for the faith. And the pathway we are taking, we are not expecting commendation. Hallelujah. Our own is, if you won't go. Thank you. Pick your Bibles. We are continuing with the third part of the series. We started titled The Enemies of Revival. And I will drop them and believe the Holy Ghost to expand it more for your understanding. I don't have to be too detailed because we have too many things to say before the year runs out. We have too many things to say to establish the people. The Holy Ghost program just finished. The revival is on. And we are out to let you know that this revival you have, Satan is after it. God helping us to cause us to say things that will make you watch and pray. You must know what to watch out for before you can watch out properly. And we have said it, we mentioned about four of them or so, or four of them already. And then the next one is that kills revival. I'm going straight to the point. That should be number five. What was the first one I said? The enemy of revival. The first one is what? The lust of the flesh. What's the second one? Pride. What is the third one? The God of this evil world. Gods of this world. And what is the fourth one? What is the fourth one? Tears. You didn't catch it, please get the last two parts. We try to say a lot of things that will help everyone that wants to maintain the revival. The fourth one, that's the fifth one today we are looking at, is the wrong actions of leaders after a revival. The wrong actions of leaders also destroy revival. We saw a perfect time. I say I will rush so that I can see if I can conclude this. So please note it and then take time and read the scriptures I'll be giving you and then meditate over them. You will even go deeper than I can stand here and speak within these moments. Wrong actions of leaders. For instance, Israel was in a revival. We see in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. The Bible says, let's read it. So that, just emphasize something. Chronicles. In the Old Testament, after Kings. Chapter 21. This is the way the Bible put it. It says, and Satan, remember, this was after the victory. The fourth battle over the Ammonites. The fourth battle, and then they defeated the Philistines. The giants were destroyed. Four mighty giants. Three others apart from Goliath were destroyed. Revival was going on. Like Brother Assembly, destroyed two. One in Ejesha, one at Alausa. Two mighty giants. Brother Assembly, we defeated them in a 1 year war. And then we are jumping, we are unstoppable. We are untouchable. Let me tell you, Satan doesn't sleep. Every day I go say, waiting the one for each other, they plan now. Watch and pray. So, Satan, I've told you, when Satan meets you, he has been dealing with human beings for 6,000 years. He knows how to bring down anybody. Anybody at all. Nobody can say, Satan cannot get me. We are who we are by his grace, God's grace. The only person that Satan cannot get is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And he that watches our praise. For he who thinks his time, take heed lest he fall. Watch. Be very watchful. After they defeated the Ammonite, they defeated the Philistines, they finished the giants. Then, verse 1, chapter 21, 1 Chronicles. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. David already had a commandment of the Lord that he should not do a census. So it is, David, God told him, don't do that census. I have told you the doctrine of Balaam. How even in the book of Revelation, God still remembers it against Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam is the doctrine where the enemy, Satan, knows he cannot curse whom God has blessed. And since he cannot curse you because you are blessed, he then designs a strategy where he will get the believer to have enter trouble with God so that God's anger will come upon you. So what he could not achieve in cursing you, he will achieve by inviting, making you do something that will bring down the wrath of God upon you. We saw it in the book of Numbers. We saw it in the feast of Baal, when Balaam, in the advice of Balaam, Balak organized that feast that brought the children of Israel to come and commit whoredom with those Moabitish women, and one day 24,000 died. Here we are again. The revival is going on. They killed four giants, untouchable, strongest people on earth. Okay, you kill our giants. Satan came on their leader and said, number them. Number Israel. I think Joab, the general, began to tell Israel, why are you doing this? And when that spirit comes upon you, the leader closes ear to every other counsel. Well, my emphasis there is, he went and did it. That day in Israel, the wrath of God came down after he counted and knew the number of people in Israel. And the Bible says 70,000 were killed that day. See? Actions. Wrong actions of leaders. 70,000. When they were facing the enemies, they could not get anybody, any Israelite in that battle. So afraid until their leaders were killed, the four giants were killed. But one wrong action by the leader, what I cannot understand, I have tried by all means to try to understand. I know one day I will understand. Is the person that committed the offense is David. Why didn't God punish David? It was innocent people that were dying. That thing, meditate on it. So that you will know why you must be praying for your leaders. When you are praying for your pastor, you are actually praying for yourself. We learn it from the scriptures. The wrong action of the leader will kill the reviver. He does it and he does not know the effect. And the church, this time it is spiritual. They remain there dead and they don't know it. Dead. And church, listen to me. That you are growing in number is not the evidence that there is life in you. In that church. Oh!
watch this, pastor, wherever you are hearing me, that your church is going nyafu nyafu like wildfire does not mean, it's not evident that there is life in it.
Amen.
How do you know there is life in any setting? It is when you look at the people and you can see the word made flesh. When you see the word again, made flesh, you see love among the people. And not contractual love. Not love, me loving you because you're a member of my church. When the kind of love you have is the love that you love only members of your church, it is not the love of God. It is not. And many churches are dead, and people are thinking there is life in it. And I have come across some members of those churches that we had cause to discuss. Why did you leave that church to come here? A sister said he left one of the biggest denominations in Lagos here. I was asking her during the week, on Tuesday or so, and she said that she was in that church, but she never one day had anything, any teaching about the rapture. But that church specializes in prosperity. And she said, if you do those things that they said to do, said they prosper. He said they prosper. But, oh, glory be to God. Until I showed her a scripture in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I read it from verse 3. I read it to her. Let me read it to you too. And catch this thing. And so that you will know that it's not every church that you who want to go to heaven should go and join. And let me add this also, church, as it comes to my mind now, I'm going to talk up. Let me also add this. Praise the Lord. Because somebody called me from Benue, you are listening to me now. And he felt that there are no churches are not talking about going to heaven. And so in his village there, in Benue, the place is just darkness, and he didn't want to bring any of these prosperity churches there. So the only church he knew was one church at Ijesha that continually talk about heaven at last. Heaven at last. Heaven at last. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a scripture that speaks about those who preach they preach the truth in unrighteousness. They preach the truth in unrighteousness. Church, Christianity is not only a confession by mouth, it is also the life that you live to back up the confession. If not, you are only a complete hypocrite. And I have come close to members of such a church. And whereby, if you are not a member of their church, you are not a human being. Oh, that's the truth. And yet they are saying, heaven at last. Heaven at last. Heaven at last. But the life they are living, when we look at the character and bring it to the Urim and Thummim, oh, glory be to God. I'm speaking another terminology. Who knows Urim and Thummim? Let me break it down. Urim and Thummim, in the design, God prescribed the dress of the high priest, the dress of Aaron. Okay? Now, he was to hang something he called the Urim and the Thummim in his chest. It has 12 precious stones, each representing the tribe of Israel. Now, if anybody in Israel say, God spoke to me, I have a revelation, I have a prophecy, the Lord told me to tell you this, Aaron will say, wait. He will go and bring his Urim and Thummim and hang it on the neck. And there will be Israel, you know now, some of them will stand there with their stones. Ready? Now, God designed that. If the revelation you have is from God, there will be a rainbow that will appear there. That is to confirm that it is God that is speaking. And they will take that revelation seriously. But if you give the revelation and the Urim and Thummim does not respond, they better say your last prayer, because those stones are waiting to stone you to death. Yes. And so, our Urim and Thummim is the New and the Old Testament, the Bible. Whatever you claim is from God, we will know whether it is of God or not as we bring it to this Bible Urim and Thummim. And that's why I say, a lot of people who say they are of God, we have confirmed that they are far from God as East is far from the West. Now listen to what God said concerning prosperity. People who think that the evidence that God is with you is that you will prosper in material things. Yes, we as believers, we are supposed to prosper. But prosperity is not the evidence of your right standing with God. Now, that is what Apostle Paul is saying here from verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing, that is why I am going, underlying it in your Bible, supposing that gain is godliness. He said, from such withdraw thyself. Gain is not godliness. That you are prospering is not evidence of godliness. There are people that are billionaires and they don't know anything about God. They hate God, but they are prospering. It's not the evidence, it's more than that. And he said, if you belong to any church that says nothing more other than God, prosperity, 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 and they teach that that is evidence of godliness. He said, from such, what should you do? Get out of that church if you want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? Praise the Lord. Actions of leaders that destroy the people and they are dead. A woman that liveth in pleasure. What did the Bible say? It said she is dead while she liveth. Before God, you are dead and you don't even know it. Actions of leaders. Praise the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, it happened again. This same David went and gathered people with his new idea of carrying the ark. And what happened? 30,000 people coming for revival. Unknown to them, God was not there. It was the idea of David to go and carry the ark in the way they did. And God himself decided to check them. He caused the cart to stumble and the ark was about to fall down. A man by the name of Uzzah put his hand to help it. Ha! He died. And the revival came to an end. Praise God. Why? Because they did not carry the ark according to the due order. That is where I pick my text on the sermon I preached entitled The Due Order. The enemies of revival. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the most miserable one is when you don't have a spiritual man as a pastor. If you have an intellectual man as a pastor, when revival comes, he will kill it. I was in a church where we were dying for a revival. I was in that church. I lasted there for 7 months. It was because they were seeking for a revival. That was why I left my church and went and joined them. I said, this is what I'm looking for. That church I was before was dead, just religious, you know, nothing. Come on Sunday, come on Tuesday, come on Thursday, finish. And then pay your tithe and your offering. All the tithe will go to the pastor. That's all. You are in the message. Don't worry, you are the bride. I said, something that was a void inside of me, something was missing. I said, this thing should be deeper than this. And then I moved to this church now. And while I was there, they were praying, they were fasting. They could spend days in fasting, sometimes dry fasting. Lord, we need revival. We need revival. I said, hey, now this kind of place I like. End time message church. They didn't even have a pastor. And before I know what, they just have some leaders there. Before I know what, God sent somebody from Kogi State. And the Lord told him to come. He came there to hold 3 days revival. And the truth was that the power of God came down. Manifestations that we were not seeing before began to manifest. People were falling down, nothing. People were prophesying. People were seeing manifestations. But unknown to us, one of those leaders, he was actually the leader of the group. He had his own ambition. He felt that if the revival will come, while we were busy praying for revival, he was hoping he would be the one through whom the revival will come. And while we were rejoicing, when that man went to finish, he came and said, the prophecy that man sent to us that brought him, he said that God said he will move mightily and this and that. He said, we have judged it. That prophecy is wrong. What we saw is not what that prophecy said. Therefore, what happened? We should disregard it. And some of us say, now this is why we pray for this with this. The pastor said, na lie. The church was going to break. Some agree, some no agree. Then those of us who agree, he will come. If you dare say, don't say the other anointing, they will tell you, shut up. As all this says, was a strange spirit that came in our midst. I took my Bible, I wrote him, I will not belong to a blasphemous assembly. I am leaving this church. I carry my family, we come out. Praise the Lord. Enemies of revival. And they remain dead. Until after some years, that same man now came up to fulfill his agenda that he is now, after William Branham, Nahim, a dead man trying to lead the living. How is it possible? Actions of leaders. And they have remained in that stage. And all that they are doing there is intellectualism, nothing spiritual. The only gift that operates in that church is a gift that people prophesy. And if that is the kind of church you are going to raise, I am talking not just to you sitting down here. I am talking to a pastor listening to me from somewhere now. When you have a revival, these are the things you should watch. If not, you will remain dead. I'm telling you also what me here, I am watching. I didn't read this in any book. I sat down and through meditation, God began to minister to me the areas we should watch to keep this revival. And when we were talking on Friday night, I boasted before the whole ministers. I said, although William Branham said every revival did not last beyond 3 years. After 3 years, said they go down. I said the revival in Pride Assembly here has been on and it has been going better and better and better since we started 16 years ago. And it must continue. It will never go down because there are things we are watching. And there are the things I am listing down for you to know now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to listen. You have to catch that. Lot of settings are just intellectuals. A pastor that does not have the spirit of discernment, you are finished. You are finished. You must be able to discern when it is God walking or it is Satan walking. If not, you will take the wrong actions. I was saying, in that setting, the only gift that operates in that setting that I'll make reference to is the gift of prophecy. You know what they do? The only prophecy they give in that church is they prophesy to him. Thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, my people, listen to my servant, listen to my servant. I have raised him in this age. I have raised him in this age. He will stand and shine the light. He is the candle bearer. He is the light bearer. He is this. He is that. He is my standard. I have lifted up. Thus said, listen to him, listen to him. If you have any dream and you tell him, I saw a dream and I saw you high on a mountain, and all of us and all the other inter-message pastors in the whole world, they were down. You are the only one on top of the mountain. That Sunday service, they will give you a microphone to come and tell the church the dream. Amen. And unknown to them, praise God. Amen. A spirit has smuggled in there to destroy the revival that is going on in that place. I will come to that. Wrong actions of leaders, it kills revival. It kills sometimes how you treat prophecies. It's not every prophecy you walk on. Leaders of groups, group leaders, the people, the gift that Satan can smuggle easily in a setting is the prophetic gift. He cannot impersonate healing. You understand? He cannot impersonate miracle. He cannot even impersonate the teaching ministry. The one that he can impersonate is prophetic. In this church, where I shine my eye well, are the prophets. Without apology. Now you are the look. You are my number one suspect. I've told them this several times. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. You who are a pastor, before you know what, gifted brother, gifted sister that you have confidence in, before you know what, they come close to you by giving revelation. Some of the revelations come to pass. No doubt, you know they have a gift. But then you don't know. Before you know what, they smuggle themselves, then they become your chief advisor on spiritual matters. And before you know what, they are the ones that give all manner of funny revelations. I have jammed many of them. When we were looking for the Holy Ghost, when this church started, we finished a program and the gifts came down. Then we were rejoicing. The thing we had never seen any inter-message church before. We were seeing it. Then one spiritual sister came one day to collect microphone. And instead of her, to give her message, she said this is what the Lord told her. That a lot of this manifestation, that some of these sisters prophesying, that the Lord told her that it's not of God. Now some of them is familiar spirit that is speaking. Then she turned to me, Pastor, you have to be very, very careful with these prophecies that are going on. I said, they don't come. Not be to that, I start to fight too. Boboya, you were there. You were there that day. Of course, my wife will remember. I collected microphone. When she finished, I said, sister, go and sit down. And I told her, I said, I have a scripture. I have Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. We ask for the Holy Ghost. The Spirit came down. You are coming to say, now familiar spirit. Now familiar spirit I pray for, now you possess. I face her that day. I face her. You are possessed, sister. Go for deliverance. A spirit of jealousy is upon you. Better go for deliverance.
I didn't say you don't finish. Then we had one of Bunga prophet among us.
He was the only one around. Small time,
Boboye came and joined us. And Boboye's gift was better than his own. But he was the one, the only one we knew before.
And one day, very early, 6 a.m., he was in my house.
What happened? His problem is my allowing Boboye to minister. That he saw in the spirit, he said he knew Boboye. He was the one that, you know, through him Boboye came into this ministry. And then he said that he knows him before. And that, you know, while he's the minister, he's the follower for spirit. And that he feels that is what brought you to my house 6 a.m. Amen. I said, God bless you. We'll see later. When I tell you we'll see later, now for pulpit we go see. Amen.
I came back and I reported the matter at the pulpit. And I told them, what is the matter with you? It's a spirit of jealousy. A spirit of jealousy. Why don't you want another person to come up so that you will be the only one to be known in that group or in that ministry? Don't allow it. That is how I silence that spirit. Of course, some people will not stay. After some time, they left the church.
Listen, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Be very careful with the spirit of jealousy that come upon gifted people. Now you a pastor because you have respect for somebody's gift. It's not every prophecy we act on. Look at all of them here. And I have said it before so that I will not be confused. I have told God, if you have raised me a minister, then give me a measure of discernment. Don't let me depend on some other gifted person in running the church. Ask this prophet, if I have ever come and given you prayer requests for any of my personal things, none for 60 years in this ministry. It's no pride. The reason is, it is how you want God to walk with you, He will walk with you. Praise the Lord. So that I will confirm that this is God. I will be having my own prayers over a matter. I will come to church and one of them will come. This is what I saw. Then I don't doubt it again. I will know this is God talking because it's only confirming what in my privacy I was talking to Him. This is how I walk with Him. Now, listen, pastor. Listen, group leader. Any prophecy that comes to you to tell you to do something, don't do it until you have confirmed it. If not, they will come there and mess up that ministry. There are people that camouflage themselves, hide and say they are gifted brother, gifted sister, and all that they have, their gift is thus saith the Lord. Look, the simplest gift. Look, if you want to confirm you are a prophet is not just thus saith the Lord for admonishment. A prophet is not even discernment like Igbo, Sunday, and the rest of them discern. Listen to me, this is very important. We are the bride. We are wise. Brother, your name is John. Your second name is Ankuma. You have not been going to your church for a long time. It's perfect revelation. Perfect. Your wife has just put to bed. Am I correct? Yes. Perfect. Now, can I tell you something? Is that a message to him? Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? That is to prepare you to receive the message. Praise the Lord. Pastor, you are hearing me now. So, if not, you will sit down here one day. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. There are some gifted brothers and sisters. All their thoughts, said the Lord, is do something. Do something. Do something. Listen, church. Listen. Before you know what, hey, anoint everybody. Hey, everybody remove shoe. Hey, everybody go and enter rain. Hey, everybody run around this building 7 times. And then they are vibrating and they are saying it. They are holding them. They are kicking people. They are slapping people. They are shouting. And then you think that by your vibration will we know that it is from God? No! And before you know what, they are making caricature of us and demons are laughing.